What is so special about the year 2012? Well, it seems that everywhere I go, people are talking about the year 2012. And it's just a coincidence or not, this is 2012, the year that we live in. So what is so special about this year? People are looking for things that they normally wouldn't look for, like a difference in the Northern Lights, or a difference in the number of earthquakes or hurricanes or floods, the difference in the rate of the famine in the world. People are looking where it is good that they are looking, because it might waken them up, and we need to be awakened. On the other hand, if these predictions had not been made by a group of non-believers, a group of idol worshippers many, many years ago, then people wouldn't pay any mind to it. But people just have a natural instinct to look for things that are not welcome or bad. And you know what? The Bible does say that in the end times, things will wax worse and worse. Oh yes, they will. But nonetheless, let's stick to what the Bible says and not what the heathen has predicted. Okay? So what's so special about 2012? Could it be the year of the worm? To many of you, that doesn't mean a thing. What are you talking about? We're going fishing? What? The worm? What worm? Well, if you're a believer, you'll know the worm I'm talking about. If you're not, then perhaps you will wonder about going fishing. But in reality, according to Scripture, and I'm going to read you a few verses of Scripture to acquaint you with what I'm talking about concerning the worm. Okay, we're going to turn to Mark, the book of Mark, chapter 9. And there are several verses I'd like to read to you to give you sort of an outline of what I'm referring to when I say the year of the worm, which, by the way, is the title of my message, the year of the worm. Now, okay, in Mark chapter 9, verse 43, begin there. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. Now, these are red-letter words, which means Jesus is speaking these words. All right? So that there's more impact behind it when you know that Jesus is speaking to someone directly. If the hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Now get this, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Verse 45, and if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Verse 47, if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Verse 48, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Well, there you have it. So that gives us the indication of what we're talking about when we refer that the worm dieth not. You see, in reality, the worm that Jesus is referring to here is the mind of man. Or, you know, the soul, the spirit. It's that part of man that is fully aware of what's going on. Now, I dread to even bring it up, but people, and there's many of them, more so than those that will go to heaven, when they end up in the lake of fire, when they end up in hell, they're going to have the situation where they'll be suffering for eternity. And they'll know exactly what's going on. They'll know why they're suffering. They'll know why they went to hell. They'll know everything about them. They'll see others suffering as well. And that will be for all eternity. That's a long time. You can't measure eternity. Wherefore, if you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ and trust in Him and receive Him into your heart as your personal Savior, then you're on the other side of the coin, so to speak. You'll be in glory. And the worm dieth not in glory either, because you'll be very conscious of your surroundings. You'll be like Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful thought? In comparison to the opposite of being in hellfire? Well, if you're a member of the body of Christ, the only thing that could be really special about the year 2012, well, it could be, or might be, will be, actually, the rapture of the Church of the Living God. If that should happen in this year. I mean, let's face it, people, the stage is set. But when it does happen, it will be sudden. And you will not know that day nor that hour. Scripture is very clear on that. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians. Now, I'm not going to read a lot of scripture, but I'd like to really set the stage for what is coming down here. Because we're getting into predictions for the year 2012. And it's good to have a bit of a grasp on where these are coming from and what you need to look forward to. Okay, we're going to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 12. 1 to 12, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, talking about the Antichrist here, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, there's the biggest lie that could ever come. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Don't you remember that, Paul is saying? And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. We're talking about the Holy Spirit here, who's a restraining force against the sin of the world. And when the Holy Spirit is taken out, then it'll be a free-for-all in the market of sin. So that's exactly what's going on here. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Because, this is important, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And finally in verse 12, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That is a stern warning if I ever heard one. So, before the end of this message, if you're not saved, I pray that you will make that decision and make it quickly, because tomorrow is promised to no one. The word's out, and before long, just about everybody will be jumping on the bandwagon for one reason or another. The one reason will likely be because they don't believe in the Word of God. The other reasons, well, too silly to mention perhaps, so controversial, so bandied about by believers and non-believers alike. Even soothsayers and gamblers, everybody has an opinion. You heard that said, haven't you? Everybody has an opinion. Even the fundamentalists don't all agree with each other. We're all opinionated to some degree, whether we admit it or not. Excuse me. When fundamentalists disagree on when the rapture will occur, it tells the unbeliever that we don't know what we're talking about. Oh, that's not good. Pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. When will the rapture come? Brothers, sisters, we've got to get our act together, or we're going to leave a lot of confused people behind who otherwise would have gotten saved. As for me, I'm a pre-trib rapture man right to the end. Pre-trib. And before I'm finished, you'll be a pre-trib also. Or should I say a pre-tribber? Man or woman, if you believe in Christ, in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2, the Word of God says, For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Then if we look in Mark 13:32, we read, But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not even the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. It's only God the Father who knows when that hour will come. For He's the one who will send His Son down in the rapture to gather up His church, the saints of God. Not me, not you, not Billy Graham, not the Pope, what's-his-face, not even Rick Warren. None shall know that hour or that day. Now we're talking about the rapture here. We're talking about being ready when the mighty voice of the archangel shall bellow out, Come up hither! Wow, I can hardly wait to hear that. What a beautiful sound. You know, it's only the saints of God who will hear this call. That's right. The unsaved Christ rejectors will hear nothing. And they'll continue about their business while the children of the King will be raptured, taken out, taken home to heaven. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. However, heed this warning. If you don't hear the call, then you will enter into the tribulation. Then the Lord will send a strong delusion into all the world. And those who have not received Christ will believe a lie. Yes, they will. They'll believe a lie because that strong delusion will be there. And you won't say, well, I'm going to change my mind now. I'm going to believe because my mother and my brother and my sister and my aunt and my uncle, they must have gone to heaven because they disappeared. You'll believe something else. Maybe aliens came and picked them up. They're gone on a spaceship trip or something, or they took off to South America. You don't know. You will not know. You will believe a lie, because that's when the Antichrist comes on the scene. And you will believe in him, trust in him, take his mark. Oh, it's not a pretty scene. It may seem like it in the beginning, but it will not end up that way. What a day that will be. Take warning, folks. Take warning. Now, as to the day and the time of the rapture, which knoweth no man, if you think you can change sides once you see your Christian friends disappear, it ain't gonna happen. Your destiny is sealed. You have mocked the Holy Spirit. Now here's the most credible answer you'll find as to when the rapture will occur. Before, in the middle, or at the end of the tribulation, it will be, not it might be, or can be, or could be, it will be before the tribulation. It will be before the tribulation. You don't have to take my word for it. If you study Scripture, it's obvious. It's obvious. We're not appointed to wrath. And the wrath of God begins in Revelation 6. The church will be gone. How can we know this when so many people differ? I mean, a lot smarter people than I are out there and say, oh no, the rapture will happen midway through. Or other people who think they're smarter still will say, oh no, the rapture will not occur until the end of the tribulation. No. I may not be the brightest stone in the chain, but I'll tell you that much. The rapture will occur before the tribulation. How can we know this? Like I said, it's elementary, my dear Watson. Check the Scriptures. You'll know. Get saved. Let the Holy Spirit guide you and give you direction. You'll know. The Word of God tells us that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Like, we'll not know, right? As I already said, we don't know the day nor the hour. Now, we don't know when the thief in the night comes, right? We will not know when that thief in the night comes. So, we cannot know when the rapture will occur, except that it will be between the time you hear this message and the start of the tribulation, which could be this year, or 10 years from now, or 100 years from now. We don't know, okay? Let's jump ahead a little bit to what we do know. We do know that according to Daniel 9:27, and I quote, "And he," we're talking about the Antichrist, "shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." Now, 1 week is interpreted as 7 years. Okay? And in the midst of that week, that's that 3.5 years, the mid period, "he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." Now, I know to hear me say that might be a little confusion. So look it up yourself. And read it over a few times. Ask for the leading of the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's Daniel 9, verse 27. So, what do we know now? What do we know now? It's the middle of the tribulation? Well, according to Revelation 6, as I alluded to earlier, the Lord opens 5 of the 7 seals and pours out his wrath upon the earth. We don't want to be here for that. It's not appointed to us. Not the children of God. However, since the saints, the church, is not appointed to wrath. We are in heaven at this time, according to the pre-trib rapture, which takes place before the tribulation begins. So, how can there be a mid-trib rapture when the church, the saved saints of God, are nowhere in sight? Huh? And what about a post-trib rapture? Well, this would mean the church went through the entire tribulation, which would entail calling God a liar. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9, Paul writes, "For God hath not appointed us," that's the church, the believers in Christ, "to wrath." That's how we know. If the wrath of God begins in chapter 6 of the Revelation, we can't be there because we'll be into the wrath. So, when all is said and done, where do we as believers in Christ really stand? With the pre-trib rapture, right? It has to be. If we predict the rapture will happen at the mid-trib or post-trib point, then we are in error. Since none of us actually know when the rapture will occur, why can't we see that? Why can't we understand that? Why do you have a problem with that? Now, let's go back to the present here. The year 2012, which we are into. Okay? The new year is still in the cradle at the time you hear this message. What I mean by that, it's in its infancy. Okay? Because this is January when this message is being prepared. So, that's how we know. We're still in the cradle, which is a turn of a phrase, right? But not for long, and for many, even for so-called Christians, the apocalypse is on the way. For many, the final days are around December 21st. Well, as it might sound good to the atheist who says, well, at least we'll save on Christmas shopping if we believe in that. Okay. And if you're wealthy and fortunate enough, I wouldn't waste my time buying one of those underground condo shelters located deep within the Earth's crust. Pretty fancy pads, I hear. Not much of a view, though, but nonetheless, quite sustainable. When the heavens begin to rain fire and brimstone. From what I understand, that they can't build them fast enough. Well, I really hope the rapture happens before the storm begins. I couldn't bear to see all those panic-stricken people pounding on massive steel doors, crying, "Let me in! Let us in! Let me in! Let me in!" You know, I was just thinking, what if these anticipated solar storms set off an earthquake that in turn caused these underground silos to collapse? Imagine paying all that non-refundable money and then having your roof fall in. Oh, well, I guess you'll just have to wait and see. But you know, there is an out from all the expected terrestrial hoopla. There is a way out. It's found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. As long as you have breath in your body, you have a hope of a mansion in glory. And believe me, the view is out of this world. Regardless of what many may or may not, or whatever may or may not fall from the skies during this predicted year of the apocalypse, one thing is for certain. That old devil will be roasting some weenies over his brimstone barbecue. Oh, yeah. This is just what Satan wanted, to stir up some frenzy in this uncertain and unbelieving world. Straight up his alley, so to speak. Now, I don't want to add more fuel to the fire that's already out of control, but in the book of Luke, verse 26, it alludes to men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. So, how is it with you? Will you be in that number? In the path of the apocalypse? Or will you come to our Savior, Jesus Christ, now? Don't misunderstand me. I promise you no immunity from the sorrow of a dying world, but instead the hand of one that shall be the keeper of your soul, the Son of our merciful God, Jesus Christ. He says, come on to me, all ye who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus also says, all those who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. I am come that you might have life, and have it more abundantly. He's not just talking about your life on the earth. He's talking about your life thereafter in glory. If you check the web, you'll see, well, plenty of startling predictions. They're flocking to the web now. That if they were exact, and by exact I mean no later than December 21st, 2012, then we as Christians should also hope for the rapture of the church to occur sometime between now and then. Since the word of God says, of that day and hour knoweth no man, we can't say, well, the rapture is going to happen on the 20th of December, because the world is going into the apocalypse on the 21st. We can't say that. We don't know. We're making predictions. Let the predictors make the predictions. Let us believe in the word of God and wait upon him. He knows what he's doing. Oh my, it's a sad day. If we dare to follow the extremes of the Mayan calendar, the Mayan predictions, there you have it. That's where it all emanates from. Mayan and Aztecs and Incas, they all have a hand in it. And they're all idol worshippers. If we dare to follow the extremes of them and try to mate with the Lord's return, then basically we'll be calling God a liar. The scriptures say, let God be true and every man a liar. We must always put the word of God first. You know, right at the outset, keep these things in the back of your mind. The Mayan calendar, regardless of what scientists and evolutionists and other Christ rejectors think, such predictions cannot and will not preempt nor supersede the plans that God has laid out for the end times and the rapture of the church. We as Christians know. We know what God's plans are as outlined in the scriptures. We know the course of events that must precede the Lord's return. We are not ignorant of these things, nor are we ignorant of the devil's devices. We will not allow ourselves to be sidetracked and hoodwinked. No. Until that day, the children of God, the saved in Christ, need not fear the prophecies of the damned. The Bible tells us we're not to be deceived, for we shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, says the word of God, for all things must come to pass. The end is not yet. The end is not yet. Matthew 24, verse 6. Now, how much stock should we as Christians put into these unfolding events? Well, when I was a young lad, I recall my dad saying to me, you know, you're so gullible. If I told you the moon was made of green cheese, you'd believe me. Do you see where I'm going here? Go on your computer. Talk to your pastor. Pray. You will get different answers, different opinions, suggestions. With all due respect to the aforementioned, I'd like to suggest that you study the Word of God. For therein only lies the truth. Pray without ceasing and allow the Holy Spirit to be your guide. Much to do with these predictions comes from the stars in the sky. God put them there. It's been said that on the winter solstice, December 21st, the sun will be in complete alignment with the central Milky Way for the first time in 26,000 years. And that whatever energy typically streams to Earth from the center of the Milky Way will be disrupted on that day. Whew! That's a mighty, mighty powerful prediction. In a nutshell, the Mayan calendar predicts the world will end in the year 2012. This year, by December 21st. Again, I must remind you, what does God's calendar say? Quote, no man knoweth the day nor the hour. Unquote. I don't know about you, but I believe in what God says. Ask the Hindus. Astrology is a major part of the Hindu faith. So they are most interchangeable with what the stars and the planets show. Old man Satan just loves all the astrologers and the scientists and the soothsayers. He loves them because he can do some mean tricks with these small minds. These small minds with big aspirations. To the believers in Christ, to the unbelievers in Christ, science and astrology are their gods. Scientists say that the Earth's protective layer now has two large holes that allow powerful solar winds to influence our weather. And they further predict that electrical storm activity will maximize. These electrical storms will cause power grid outages that will affect aircraft flying over the poles. You know, that's already had an effect. As I speak, aircraft are being shifted not to fly directly over the poles because of the possibility of polar storms. So, it looks like we're on our way in some fashion. Oh, they can also damage satellites, which is our main source of communication. Now, there's a scary one. More on that. If you consider such a prediction as valid, then why not consider the potential downside? Unlike the old days, even when I was a kid and listened to the Lone Ranger on a battery-packed radio, us kids would spend a Sunday evening glaring into a store window that had a new invention called the television. We couldn't believe we were watching comedian Bob Hope behind all the snow on those new inventions. Well, they were bigger than an icebox and just as heavy. We used to all go over to my uncle's house and take turns manipulating the coat hanger, holding it up as far up as we could reach and in different positions so we could use it for an antenna to get rid of some of the snow so we could see Ed Sullivan. And the telephone, if we were lucky enough to have one, was shared by several parties. And it was almost impossible to get through without getting rude with somebody. And then everybody would listen in and know all your conversation and your business. Georgette, will you get off the line? I'm talking. I know you're listening. I look back now, it was kind of humorous. But we sure come a long way since then. A long way. Nowadays, just about everything we use for communication is run by some satellite way up there in the sky. Here's the scary part. Ever wonder what could happen if some country wanted to overcome a superpower like the U.S. or China? Maybe Iran, I don't know. All they have to do when they were ready, when they were ready to strike, is launch a mass of rockets at each one of them satellites and make it incompetent. Yeah, they can do it. Part of the results would be no TV, no water, no radio, no cell phones, no iPads, hardly any way of communicating except for a couple of cans and a piece of string. Or going out the back door and yelling, "Help!" Again, I must say, when we were kids and the power went off, we were totally shut off from the world. As a kid, it was scary. And it was kind of like fun. You know, kids are like, "Hey, cool, man." Well, it wasn't so cool back then, really. Today, it's a different story. Completely different. Everything is so automated. Everything is so ultra-powerful. It's simply scary, wouldn't you say, to think what we have that we could lose in a moment. Even before I finish this message, that could happen. The power could go off all over North America. Wow. My computer would shut down. My microphone would be of no good. And you wouldn't hear the rest of this message. Now, I don't know if you'd consider that a blessing or not. Anyway, onward and upward. Mayan writings also predict an eruption of solar flare-ups to affect the Earth. I talked about the planes flying over the poles. This is what they were trying to avoid. Potential solar flare-ups. So we're well into the year, even though it's only January. Even the Holy Bible speaks of scorching heat in Revelation 16. Also earthquakes in diverse places. The list, well, it goes on and on and on. But in the end, only what's done for Christ will matter. If you do it now, don't wait until tomorrow. As Grandpa used to say, don't wait till the chicken's out of the coop, then close the door. Well, as you might expect, many of the Mayan allies that followed, such as the Aztecs and the Incas, all being in cahoots with the Devil's Brigade, took these predictions and ran with them. There's even talk of another world flood, which of course is contrary to the Word of God, who said He would never again destroy the earth by a flood. So I guess it'll have to be a man-made flood. Is that possible? I urge you, be aware, people. and do not take lightly what is being said in this message. Do not follow the Mayan monkey. Things will wax worse and worse, but the end is not yet. And watch out for those panic makers. They're everywhere, and they will increase. These are people who thrive on the underbelly of the problem, just to make a quick buck at your expense. But buy this, and it could make a difference. Or purchase this, and things will not be as predicted. They'll be everywhere, on the street corners, at the roadsides, in the parks, and likely, as we near the deadline, they'll be hanging from the rooftops. What'll be their number one product, do you suppose? Guess. I imagine survival packs. That's right. Survival packs for the whole family, from medicine to purification products, ponchos, salt pills, and maybe even some sunscreen. I'd suggest to everyone who has not already done so, not to wait for the price to go soaring, but such a kit should be in your home regardless of whatever the situation. I mean, this kind of survival pack you should have in your car when you go out on a normal day, because you don't know what you're going to run into. I'm not talking about the end of the world, I'm just talking about normal everyday occurrence. Well, maybe not every day, but a normal occurrence nonetheless. My friends, I would so like to say to you, brothers and sisters in the Lord, that you get into the Word of God. Therein you will find what is truth right from the mouth of God. For the complete truth, I recommend you study only the King James 1611 Authorized Version Bible. Keeping in mind that God wrote only one Bible. As for you who are not saved, who have not believed in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, my heart goes out to you. Who have rejected Him as your Lord and Savior, my heart goes out to you. Then your very next move should be to give your life now to Jesus Christ so that the Holy Spirit can come and dwell within you and give you comfort and direction. Do not wait until December 21st. What will occur between now and December 21st will almost certainly be man-made. Only those who are fully locked into Christ will persevere. This is not to say that signs and wonders will have no place. No, what's important to understand is that only what's done for Christ will last. Jesus very clearly stated to those who are His own, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." That's good enough for me. And if you believe in Christ, it'll be good enough for you. Keep it in mind. If it's not for Jesus, then it's all for naught. It's for Satan. Decide now. Decide now whom you will serve. So, just what are some of the man-made prophecies the doomsday prophets would have you know? Well, they predict a comet or asteroid, they're not sure which, will hit the Earth sometime this year. I don't know. All I know is I'm ready. I'm ready in Christ, okay? These predictions only come true if they were going to happen anyway. But you cannot predict the day and the hour, just like you can't predict the rapture. The Aztecs and the Incas, well, they're actually part and parcel to Mayan predictions. And they believe that the world has already been destroyed four times in the past. Wow. And 2012 will be the fifth. Well, that's interesting. Five times the world going to be destroyed? Ooh. Where astronomy is concerned, we have the issue of astronomical alignment. When only once every 24,000 years, when this occurs, all hell could break loose, so to speak. My answer to this is, not while my God is in charge. Not while my God is in charge. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No. Tell me this. Who rotates the earth on its axis? Huh? Have you got a couple of monkeys out there with extra powerful arms that are holding the earth the way it should be? Huh? And who aligns the stars? Hey, look, there's the Big Dipper. Orion, look at there, the bear. Oh, look at that, would you? The Milky Way. Where'd that come from? God put them there. Not only to give us night light, but also for us to enjoy. To sit under the stars on a warm summer evening and look up. I used to do that even before I got saved. I used to have a picnic table out in the back of my house. And I used to go out there and lie on my back on the picnic table and look up into the heavy, dark sky and see a planet and a star. And the star twinkled and the planet did not. That's how I could tell the difference. And I'd say, God, I know you must be real. I wasn't even saved at the time. I was on my way. So, one thing's for sure. It's not some monkey face carved into a pile of granite dung. No, God created the universe and he placed everything exactly where he wanted it. The stars, the moon, the sun, the galaxies. 'Twas God who made the earth and everything that's in it and on it, including the lake of fire. Final home of the devil and his angels. And also for all who have rejected Christ as Savior. You'll be there too. For all eternity. 'Twas God who tilted the earth on its current axis, and it is his hand that rotates and holds it in just the right position. If we were any closer to the sun, we'd burn up. If we were any farther away, we'd freeze up. 'Tis God who rules the universe and decides when any changes will be made, and not some Mayan mystic. You know, bad news travels fast because it carries little weight. Got that? Bad news travels fast because it carries little weight. Good news, like the saving grace of Christ's finished work at Calvary, seems to travel slowly because the sin of the world weighs it down. There are many books already out, filling the unbeliever in Christ with worry, headed for panic. Well, there's only one book as we, as believers in Christ, need to heed. The Bible, God's holy word. While Mayan prophecy has the apocalyptic rumors flowing to every corner of the globe, beware of Rome. Beware of Rome and the Catholic effect. The Catholic effect. The Bible indicates that a European beast power will be aligned with a changed version of the Catholic Church. Let me repeat that. The Bible indicates that a European beast power, B-E-A-S-T, will be aligned with a changed, altered version of the Catholic Church. Seems that many Catholics believe there will come an age of peace before the Antichrist comes on the scene. Before he comes on the scene. That should read, before the Antichrist begins his murderous rampage during the tribulation. It seems that most everything connected to the apocalypse, if you look close enough, you're likely to see a little bit of Mickey in there. And I'm not talking about the mouse. Are people getting concerned? Talk to the Dutch. I have relatives living in Holland, in the Netherlands. And don't mention a flood to the Netherlands. Yikes! The dikes will be overflowing for sure. Thousands of people in the Netherlands expect the world to end this year and are now preparing for the apocalypse. Even as I speak, the Dutch are being literally overrun by Muslim dominance. At last bed check, more than 70% of the population turned up Muslim. 70%, more than 70%. First the makeover, then the takeover. First the makeover, then the takeover. And as the countdown nears home, people and things around you will begin to change. I say things because as the human race prepares for a potential end and races about in search of affordable hiding places, therefore giving little or no thought to the environment they held so precious, or the animals that must now fend for themselves. I call it the reverse effect. The reverse effect. The general consensus of many will be a trend toward higher anxiety and optimal concern over family and real estate. Family and real estate. For example, many survival kits will have to be enlarged. Also water packs along with powdered foods and canned goods. What began as scientific madness will now have evolved into occultic frenzy. Whether you're a believer or not, it's time to incorporate the God factor. You've had your run at Darwinism and dined with the atheist fool. Now it's time to discover the truth. What does the most important book ever published have to say? The Bible. The Bible. It's no longer a matter of take it or leave it, but to find that inner peace of knowing there really is a God, and He loves you, and He is in control, and that no man, absolutely no one, knows the day or the hour God has appointed for the judgment. Our Bible is a book filled with prophecies, and it's not hit and miss. Every prophetic event mentioned in the Bible has already or will come to pass. Every one of them. 100%. Yes, we're living in the end times. Yes, God's calendar of end time events is at our doorstep. Yes, there is a 7-year tribulation period soon to begin. Yes, the Antichrist is already stage left. The man of perdition appointed by Satan himself, he'll gather all the Christ rejectors in the world to be at his beck and call and to worship him as their God. His ultimate goal will be to destroy the Jewish remnant and to seat himself in the holy temple and proclaim himself as God. These things are prophesied and will occur according to God's calendar. And you can believe in that calendar. You know why we who are in Christ believe these prophetic events will come to pass? Because, like I said before, they always do. They always did. So what's my whole point? Who would you rather believe? Who would you rather believe? The God who made the universe, or some skeptic with a flair for foolishness? My friends, the world will not end until every Bible prophecy is fulfilled. The next event is the rapture of the saints of God, the church. After that, the 7-year tribulation period, followed by the return of Christ to hogtie that old devil and chain him for 1,000 years in the pit. For a period of 1,000 years, there will be peace upon the world. The lion will lie down with the lamb. Children will play with snakes and not be bitten. Then at the end of the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, he will let that old devil loose for a little season. For a little season. At this time, all those who have rejected Christ during the 1,000 years will be judged and cast into the lake of fire with Satan and his angels to suffer for all eternity. Then Christ will create a new heaven and a new earth and reign forever from his holy temple in Jerusalem. That's right, from his holy temple in Jerusalem. And we the saved in Christ, will reign with him for all eternity. The headlines are there. They're there, folks. Thousands worldwide prepare for apocalypse. The rich and well-to-do will certainly believe so. Word has it that these elites are buying up condos in remote silos where once rockets of destruction were housed. I understand they're pretty pricey and come with a no-refund guarantee. As for the poor, well, I guess you'll have to pick up with the old push-and-shove routine. Or put up with the old push-and-shove routine. Scientists are also trying to equate the increase in natural disasters to the Mayan predictions. For example, Hurricane Katrina and the great tsunamis in the Philippines. But somehow they just don't hold any water. No pun intended. Each day, more and more survival groups are coming together, especially in Europe and Canada and the U.S. And may I add at this point that there is no such thing as a natural disaster. Don't believe me? Ask God. Some Europeans, like the Dutch, are trying to buy real estate located in high places like in the African mountain ranges, away from potential tidal waves and volcanic dust. Question. How would the state that governments this world make ready 7 billion people for the end of the world? That's right. We're 7 billion now, folks. And of course, the answer is, they wouldn't. They couldn't. It's time, people, to trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. Many, in particular the unsaved, will pack a hot pistol as each one seeks supremacy in a world expected to catapult towards the edge of the abyss. I was taught that only the final 3.5 years of the tribulation would be called the Great Tribulation, though some tend to call all 7 years the Great Tribulation. When Jesus returns for the rapture of his church, he will not set foot upon the earth, but will remain in the clouds. as the trumpet is sounded and the voice of Michael the archangel calls to the saved, "Come up hither!" And then only the saints of God will hear this voice. Only those who have trusted in Christ will hear this call. Those who have not received Christ as their personal Savior will not hear the call, will not hear the trumpet. Only the saved will hear. Then the dead in Christ, the bodies in the graves, whose spirit is already with Christ, they will come out of the graves, and their dead bodies will be changed from corruptible to incorruptible, as they rise in newness of life to meet the Lord in the air. Then we, the saved, who also heard the call to come up hither, will rise too, and just as the dead before us. Our bodies will be changed too, as we leave our sinful flesh behind and are changed like unto His glorious body, that of Jesus Christ. Then shall we ever be with the Lord for all eternity. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful thought. Understand this, people. If you are not truly saved according to the Scriptures, then you will not hear the trump, nor the voice, and you will be lost forever on your way to an eternal hell in the lake of fire. Of course, you will be at a loss as to what really happened. You may be sitting at dinner with your family, and suddenly one, two, or more will simply just vanish from your sight. For a brief moment, you will have no explanation. However, this won't last for long, because the Bible says that God will send a strong delusion upon all the world. And those that have rejected Christ will believe a lie. A lie. The lie of the Antichrist, that man of perdition. And you will follow him and eventually believe that he is God. It will not be a pretty picture. Now is the appointed time of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Heaven's gates are open wide. But then also is the great furnace of the lake of fire. Choose this day, I beg you. Choose this day whom you will serve. On the day of the winter solstice, 2012, a man, or some reasonable facsimile thereof, has predicted catastrophic changes to our world. So, the Mayans, the Aztecs, the Incas, and a fifth of all the world may predict what they will, but they'll never be correct. For only God and God alone knows the complete timetable of the universe, for He and He alone brought it into existence. Amen. Amen.